All right, here we are again. Gosh, I'll tell you what, the stories that Marty has told us so far have been fantastic. Cap Marty, here we are again. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat. I got to know, what kind of story are we going to have today?
Well, today, Justin, we are going to be talking about one of the mysteries of the deep, meaning the Gulf Stream. And I'll be back to do that in just a moment.
When it comes to finding phenomenal seafood, you gotta go insane. That's right. Stop in to the Insane Seafood Market right there on Highway 64 in Columbia. Luke Midget and his crew work hard out on the water to make sure you have the freshest selection of seafood around. They provide a wide selection of fish, crabs, shrimp, oysters, and clams, just to name a few. Insane Seafood has a hot bar to satisfy that seafood craving right on the spot. Visit them online at InsaneSeafood.com and like them on social media. Go insane at Insane Seafood Market, Highway 64 in Columbia.
Boasting phenomenal seafood dishes, a great menu, and waterfront views with deck seating, Striper's Bar and Grill at the Shalabag Bay Marina in Manio serves a casual, fun-filled dining experience with an Outer Banks flair. With three floors to choose from, you're bound to find the perfect seat for you and yours while enjoying great food and fantastic drinks. To see our menu and to catch a glimpse of the beautiful views, go online to stripersbarandgrill.com. Striper's Bar and Grill at the Shalabag Bay Marina in Manio, where everyone's a VIP.
So, Justin, before I go on with the story, I want to make a statement in that this story is 100% true. This is a real thing. It has a funny name, but we're going to be calling it What Raises... the subject is, what raises these offshore fish like tuna, dolphin, and wahoo to the boat? You know, you're trolling. That's, by definition, is dragging natural or artificial rigged baits, and that's a story in its own, behind the boat to duplicate a school of fish, a bait fish. And so you're waiting for a striking fish to come up and strike at the bait. Like, that's just the basic explanation. But man, oh man, there is a lot of thought that goes into the one part. Now, it is important that your mate is on the ball, got the proper baits rigged, and that's also another story. That's called the spread. That's what happens. That's the assortment of baits or colors or types of bait that you have worked in over days and days of fishing into a workable combination to catch fish. That is important. The second thing that's important is that the captain needs to have done his due diligence, made a few phone calls the night before, listened on the radio all the way out to say Barry's down there to the Hatteras, Billy Maxwell is up off Virginia Beach, have a picture in his mind so that later in the day, if either one of those guys hits the tuna, he knows to turn south or to turn north or maybe to stay right where he's at. That too is important. But nothing is as important as the hum. You know what that is?
The hum. The hum. Is it the sound that the teasers make going through the water and it hums in through the water like the schools of fish that will attract your tuna, your dolphin, your wahoo? Is that what it is?
Part of it.
Oh, it's part of it.
It's one of the elements of it. And it is all about the sound. And the word was hum, H-U-M, like you hum a song.
Oh, okay.
Well, every boat that's ever been offshore fishing has a hum. Doesn't mean they have a good hum. They could have a good hum or a lukewarm hum, or they could have a hum that's scaring away everything in the ocean.
Okay.
Wow. Of all the things I tried to explain in my charter career, was your father a charter captain? Is the ocean salt? Will the sharks eat you? All that. The one that fascinated people the most was about the hum, because here's kind of like what happens. Now, well, let me back up a minute. The hum, by definition, it is the combination of sound that your boat makes, the wake that drags along behind your boats, which would include the teasers.
Okay.
And I'll explain what a teaser is in a minute. And any other byproduct in the form of noise, like a generator running in the bilge or an air conditioning system, which a lot of us didn't used to have.
Right.
So that combination of noise is called your hum. It's a drone, really. It's like a droning noise. So what happens is a fish is down in the deep, probably. And not, I mean, they go to the surface, down in the feed, back to the surface. But if they're down in the deep, they hear a noise above them. They look up and they see the white water of your boat's wake. So they come up to investigate. Now, when they come up there, if it sounds good and your boat is making the right combination of noises, then that's a good hum. Your boat is making a noise that's mysteriously, this is called the mysteries of the deep, mysteriously attracts them up to the boat. When your hum is right, you would not believe how close the fish will strike to the boat. And you mentioned teasers. Teasers are the closest baits to the boat in general terms. A teaser is a fiberglass lure that's drug by the captain on the bridge, has a little reel up there, goes out to the outrigger, and it's usually right abreast of the corner of the transom. It's like 10 feet off the stern of the boat. And people charged will say, "Captain, all the fish are hitting the teaser. Why don't you put a hook in it?" Well, you don't put a hook in it because we're real particular when we're slow trolling. And it's a little different nowadays. They do a lot of lure fishing. That's another story. But when you're slow trolling, you don't want to hook a fish on a big fiberglass lure because he can't close his mouth on it. And therefore, it's a lot harder at that speed to hook the fish. So what happens is it's called bait and switch. You lure the fish to the teaser. When he can't stand it when you pull that thing out of the water. You're up on the bridge. You don't even bother with the fishing, or you just do it by hand. I've gotten in some major tug of wars with blue marlin and tunas, and they get hold of them, won't let go. If they let go, you pull the teaser out of the water, and then they switch to the nearest bait, which is usually your flat line, the close ones right up behind the stern.
Right.
So that's what a teaser does. But if all your bites are coming to the teaser and the flat line, that means the fish are not as scared of your, not afraid of your boat, and they have, they're attracted to it even. So over the years, some boats have been famous for their hum. And it makes a lot of difference. In the history of the Hatterson Oregon Inlet Fleets, I don't think anybody that was around in the 70s would argue that the Sea Whisper out of Hatterson, owned by Arnold Tolson, which is Bull Tolson's father, had the best hum of any boat in our fleet. It was not a Cadillac. You know, you mentioned the Bayless boats, the yachts. This boat had two Cummins diesels, kind of a different sound. They were a little bit quieter, but everyone else had Detroit diesels. This boat had two motors. Most of the time, at that time, everybody had one motor. And that's, by the way, is one of the things that could affect your hum. Some will argue a single engine is best, one propeller, one wheel wash. Some will swear that two motors is best, with two propellers and two wheel washes. Some will say a diesel inboard, which I agree with completely, is better than a gasoline outboard as far as raising fish. And they have a lot of thoughts in that regard. I know on the Sea Whisper, on the one day I went and filled in for them on that boat, and we went 3 out of 5 on Blue Marlin. We caught, we put 3 in the boat, which we probably wouldn't do nowadays, but put 3 in the boat and missed 2 more. And I was like, they weren't kidding. And every one of them came right to the flat line, right up to the stern of the boat, which is a thrill to look for a charter from Ohio to look behind the boat, see a black dorsal fin, black pectoral fin sticking out, and all of a sudden they light up like neon. I mean, just, you can't imagine if you've never seen that. Those 3 fins that were black are the most neon blue that you could ever imagine, and they're fired up because the hum attracted those fish. So the hum is very real, and you know, if you're gonna go fishing, it doesn't hurt to ask around, what boat has the best hum? Some people are like, how do you know about that? Because it's pretty secretive.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'll tell you, you knew Captain Omi Tillett very well. Really, many consider him the father of the modern sport fishing fleet and the modern Carolina hull with the big flare, the sharp entry. Omi was an innovator, never set in his ways, one of the 5 best fishermen I've ever met in my life. Bull Tolson was one of those as well.
Mm.
Meaning there's 2 kinds of fishermen, the learned and the gifted. They're both equally good. Bull Tolson is a gifted fisherman. John Bayless, both of them famous captains, John Bayless is a learned fisherman. And they constantly compete in tournaments, and it's tit for tat.
Right.
Both of them really good. Omi Tillett was the most gifted fisherman I ever knew in my life. In other words, it came natural. So one day we got to the dock. He had been having a bad streak. The blue marlin bite was on. People were catching 1 or 2 or 3 blue marlin per boat. He could not see a blue marlin. Bad sign, because that captain's thinking, it's the hum. And then you ask the mate, is that thing squealing? Do you hear any noises? You go down in the engine room to make sure there's not a clamp rattling. You turn off the generator, so it might not be affecting things. You cut, if in modern days, you'd cut off the AC. Anything that's motors that are running.
Mm-hmm.
And before that even happens, before you leave the boatyard, you sharpen you have your propellers taken off and tuned, sharpened, and balanced so they don't squeal. You have the bearings that hold your shafts that are in the strut and in the keel. You have those replaced, lube, maintenance, all that stuff. You have your rudder bolts tightened up so they don't rattle. And the list goes on and on. Bull Tolson one time even painted a school of fish on the bottom of his boat. And I'm going to tell you, he had a good summer that year, too. You see him in the boatyard, and there's a whole school of fish painted on the bottom of his boat. But that's what you, trim tabs are another one that level out the boat, tighten them up, make sure, because they rattle, you know. You do all those things. Omi did that in the boatyard, but this is midsummer. There's no time to go to the boatyard. You're booked every day.
So how in the world did Captain Omi Tillett fix the hum? We'll find out after this.
Are you ready for a fishing thrill like no other?
Oh, there he is!
As seen on WikiTune in Outer Banks, the Carolina Girl, captained by majestic Jesse Anderson, is a custom, luxurious, 53-foot Jarrett Bay-built boat running out of Hatteras Harbor Marina. Let Jesse and her crew give you a fishing experience of a lifetime. Book a trip, go online to CarolinaGirlSportFishing.com. Carolina Girl Sport Fishing, your offshore adventure awaits. That night, I remember coming in on the reeling, getting everything done. Everybody, I was always one of the last boats to leave, last people to leave the dock. Happened to look over my shoulder, and there was the sportsman pulling out of a slip with Omi on the bridge and nobody else on the boat. He's made it, already left and gone home. And I'm like, wow, what is going on here? You know? So I didn't know. I thought maybe he had a problem. I knew he'd had a hard day that day. Several days of no marlin. He was getting sacked up, which is unusual. I watched him. In fact, I even drove down to the end of the marina where that big ship's propeller is to see what he was doing, make sure he's okay.
Right.
And he went out there, single engine boat, and he's the one that cut the keels off. He was the first one to cut the keels off their boat. So if you run aground, the first thing that hits is your propeller. That's a chance you take. But he pulled out there and backed into the wind onto a shoal right there at the fishing center until I was listening. His motor cut off. In other words, he stalled his boat out on a shoal at dead idle, very slow. The wind blew him off the shoal. He cranked it back up again, backed onto the shoal. He did that three times. I sat there, I said, what is he doing? Well, finally pulled off the shoal, went back to slip. So I had to drive around to his dock and find out what he was doing. And he said, I've got to do something. I don't have time to go to the boatyard. I'm booked in the morning, but this propeller ain't got the hum. And so I thought, well, what were you doing? He said, well, I'm just hoping to sharpen it, dull it. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm hoping to change it.
Yeah, you know, got to change it.
You got to change it. Got to try something. The next day, he went out and caught the biggest blue marlin in his life, and he'd been doing it alone. The biggest blue marlin in his life. Now,
wow,
that
yeah.
is what the hum is all about. So that's a good thing to think about, you know. Now, I would not recommend going out on a charter boat if you're having a slow day, say, hey, Captain, how's your hum? That probably wouldn't go over very good.
Mm.
Or, hey, Captain, is that a squeal I hear? And if you do, just don't tell him Captain Marty told you. That's my story for you today.